Welcome to the Art Burrito Podcast. This is season one, episode seven. And today on the episode, I talked to Phil Tate, who's business director at Birch Bark Media here in Peterborough on Hunter Street. I worked at Birch Bark for about 3 years doing some marketing stuff. And the guys over there became really good friends. Phil being one of them, and literally one of the funniest guys I've ever met. Super insightful, and a really great guy. He's done a lot of self exploration, which is something that I think we should all do. And we talk a little bit about that. We talk about marketing. We talk about social media. We're just going to go and brought to you by a Publican House Brewery. Enjoy, everybody, and go.
Welcome to the Art Burrito Podcast with Jason Wilkins. Life, art, marketing, and all the deliciousness in between. Here we go.
We're live right now. This is Phil Tate. So what's going on?
I don't know. It's 12 minutes past the hour in beautiful downtown Peterborough. You're listening to Wilkins and the Gator. Third caller gets tickets to Air Supply. I don't know what we're going to talk about. This is either. All your deal.
No. Normally, at this point, I would open a Publican, and you'd hear that. Yeah, you'd hear that. But instead, you're hearing the Tim Hortons cup open.
And a giant latte over here. Giant latte. As I get very little sleep.
Yeah, because you still have a kid.
With a baby.
I mean, you still have a kid.
With a baby.
And then also, I went out last night because we live in Baltimore. So we live in kind of middle of nowhere, but the sky is really... I was stargazing and watching weird stuff happen and hoping that something would come down and suck me up into the expanse. But it never happened, so I'm here.
I kind of wish I'd see stuff like that sometimes.
Yeah. Well, every night, I told Megan, my lady, shout out to Megan. I told her that I was going to come in after 20 minutes, and then I kind of made a thing in my head where I said, well, I won't go in until I see, I saw two shooting stars and five comets. And I thought, on my last one, I thought, okay, I'm going to one more something. Something has to happen.
Yeah.
And then it ended up being like another 25 minutes because you can't choreograph the cosmos.
You can't. I've seen really your pictures. Can. They're super nice. Yeah. Just on your phone.
Yeah. Well, it's sometime magical. I'm going to have, we've got to find a night where you guys can come out and then we do a thing. And
yeah, totally.
I don't know, you know, what will happen.
Yeah. But
yeah. Thanks.
So what else is going on?
Well, I don't know. We're busy. So I'm the kind of editor dude. And then also whatever needs to be done in Birch Bark Media. Mm-hmm. On Hunter Street West there.
Yeah. So anyone outside of, so my studio is literally like 5 minute walk to Birch Bark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. And yet we rarely.
I was just going to say. So backstory. I worked at Birch Bark from 2000.
Good times.
It was good times. It was 2015, good times. I think, to 2018.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
The Wonder Years.
The Wonder Years.
Yeah.
Where I did marketing stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes nothing. I sometimes did nothing.
Right. Exactly. You doodled things on our walls too.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where the Sharpie thing was born, I think.
It really was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're kind of taking responsibility for all your burgeoning success.
Yeah. Damn you. So what's going on at Birch Bark? You guys are busy.
Yeah, we do a lot of kind of social media management. We try not to, we love working with local clients, so we do a lot of local work. But I think outside of that, and I think it's good for everyone to diversify, but we tend to work on a lot kind of outside of the community in terms of adventure travel clients, whether they be in Iceland or in Arizona or wherever. But we do a lot of work here for, you know, RT08 for tourism, as well as Wild Rock, who we love. And we're doing a shoot for them today. And that's always fun because who doesn't want to get outside? And then today is just so beautiful. Like last week, we have a client, Camp Tana McCoon, in shout out in Algonquin Park. And who doesn't want to spend a day in Algonquin Park, like morning to night, just shooting with a bunch of kids who are just like embracing just the awesomeness of everything, and you just feel it. And it was such a beautiful day. So you have those days where you're like, yippee, you know, I'm alive. Yeah. And then you have the days in the basement, which is kind of, we're down a level where we're, what was that furniture store that was used to be there? Something. The really expensive beanbag chairs.
It was a furniture. It's a furniture store.
God bless her. And, so you're inside and you do that. And you know as well, it's almost like when you get a job probably out of town, you're thinking to yourself partially, oh, I don't want to go away from the family or going to be home late or whatever.
Yeah.
At the same time, once you get on the road, there's a bit of an energy to it. You're just like, I'm going to go kick this job's ass.
That's what I said to Heidi last week, because I was in Toronto literally almost every day straight. And I said to her, like, it's exhausting, and exhausting for her because then she's home with the kids and stuff.
Yes, exactly.
But then you get like, you go through like mini withdrawal because you're like, you get used to the energy, and especially like going to Toronto and like coming back, which I like. But you just get addicted to it. And that happens to me throughout like the holiday season too, where I'm super busy and I'm traveling there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we work so much outdoors, like, you know, rocks and trees and lakes and stuff. And then I took my daughter to the ROM, I guess last week, the week before, whatever. It's all a blur. And, but just being like at Bloor and whatever, and you're just like, I haven't been, like, I used to live in Toronto for 5 years, like downtown, but like being there and not having been there in a while, there's a bit of anxiety to it, but at the same time, you feel that pulse and everybody is different. You know, Peterborough is so beautiful, and I love everybody here, but they're incredibly white. No, I mean, they're whatever. I mean, they're other, you know, whatever. It's like 96%.
It is. It's just Caucasian. A fact. It's just a fact.
Yeah, but when you're in Toronto and everybody looks different, and you think people would be miserable. Sometimes you get that, like you get things from here when people talk about Toronto and they think like it's some kind of dystopian landscape with smog hanging over it. Those people are juiced. Most of them, the people who are downtown, they want to be downtown.
Yeah. And rush hour, when you're walking around there in rush hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get out of my way.
I mean, number one, you have to really watch out because people will mow you down.
Yeah. And also like on any kind of, and then you just love the fact that people crash on a subway. I remember doing that. We never owned a car when we lived in Toronto. It's just like zipping around, and you take the moment on the subway or anything just to crash, and then people just kind of fall asleep for 8 minutes, and they go, you know, and then they're back into the matrix, and off you go.
That's the thing. You don't give stuff like that in Toronto a second look, even. Right. It's like, the dude's just hanging out.
But what you're doing is you go there, you do that, you have people say, you're awesome, and then you come back with that energy to here. And then you know, it's not like we think of this as a small town where it's full of you know, little folk or whatever. But what happens is you get kind of some validation for what it is that you do there. You think, well, if these people think I'm pretty great, then I am. You can come back here and do some local work where you feel like, you know, I should be able to kick some ass here because there's not many people who do what you do, hopefully. And we're all unique and we all have something that like calls to us or whatever, but that you found it and went into dive deep into that crack, and you can work for anybody all over the world. You're talking about the couple from Denmark or wherever they're from.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just a real sexy couple.
They're beautiful.
And they really are.
Because I have no video attached to the podcast.
Right.
What we're looking at is a character I did of a couple. Yeah. In Denmark.
Right.
And they're beautiful people.
Yeah, and it's right beside the selection of nudes on the wall.
There's some nudes up there.
And this is all audio. And I mean, people don't know. Like, because you're doing this all audio. There's no live streaming of video here. So they don't know that you do the podcast in the nude. It makes it hard to concentrate. Well, semi-hard to concentrate. And, but, you know, it's great to be surrounded by all the artwork.
That was the awakening when I moved into the studio. I was like, you know what? I just got to shed the clothes.
Right.
And just be free, man. Be free.
Exactly. It's a beautiful thing.
Except when, you know, you have a kid's birthday party come in here. Then it's weird.
Yeah, the kids breathe.
Right. That's weird.
But this is a neat space here with everybody. It's kind of communal. Do you guys communicate a lot with each other? Do you go out there and wander? And what are you doing? You know, do you want to see what I'm doing?
If I hear stuff out there, I'll go, hey, what's up? Right. Be quiet. And then I'll shut my door again.
Yeah.
I'm really social.
And then you crank up the white just snake kidding. Or something. Here I go again.
Yeah. No, actually, up here is awesome.
Yeah. Can you play music and stuff? Do people care?
Okay. Oh, no. Yeah. For sure.
Right.
Yeah, they do it all the time. Although it's not like...
Because it feels like out there, it either could be super awkwardly quiet or it could be like a Saved by the Bell kind of hallway situation where everybody loves each other.
Oh, we all like each other. But I usually just beeline it to the studio.
And you're the AC Slater up here.
That's right.
The only thing that I'm disappointed at is you're not rocking the Gary V's today.
No.
But if you're going to...
I got my sandals on. It's too hot for Gary V's shoes today.
Right. Because I wore my Tony Danza's on purpose. That's from the Tony Danza line. These are the Yo Angela's I'm wearing.
No, wait a minute. I got to say, though, you're not wearing socks and sandals.
Right.
That's a step up.
It is. And I'm wearing a shirt with buttons.
Yeah.
Which
is crazy because no one's seeing it. You're wasting the opportunity because no one's seeing it. But yeah.
You're right.
You got some hair poking out the top. It looks good.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm a real man. Yeah, people are begging me to shave, and I refuse.
Don't do it. The whole... You know,
I can't make it over the hump. I can usually get to the two-week
point,
and then I bail,
yes.
And I've got to get past it.
You've been here too many times over the years. I've seen it, and you just don't let it do... No.
Right.
Yeah, you got to do it.
Yeah, so I'm... Yeah. Anyway. Okay. What should we talk about? What's next? You've got a whole list of questions over there.
Well, this is the problem. And we were saying before we started, I had questions for everybody else. And I have a few for you, but nothing like earth shattering.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, because I work for a media company and we, I don't know, we manage social media. We post a lot of stuff, either of our, well, not so much of our own. We're pretty terrible at that, but we're trying to get better.
You guys are getting better, by the way. We
don't know.
Okay.
I literally don't know.
Well, just so you know, whoever's doing it is posting a lot. And then when I worked there, remember Scott used to say, he used to look at the blog and go, the last blog we did was like December and we were in like August.
Right. And we did not have Publican as a sponsor for Birchbark, but a lot of our posts happened to be a pint of something, usually a square nail.
For early days, my early days were that.
The early days.
And then we cut that off a little bit.
Yeah. Because what happens is, and this is the fun thing about social media in a way, is you're seeing, whether it's a business or a person, you're obviously seeing a very, very thin onion layer slice to somebody. And we looked at our social media one day and went, people think that's who we are. Like they literally think that we're just sitting around, like, I don't care about nothing, and that we're drinking all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And couldn't be further from the truth.
No, you know what? We never did that.
We never did that.
No. Exactly.
Yeah. Because like for me, so I haven't been on social media, I guess, personally, like in any form, really. I have a YouTube channel because I post videos for my kids and stuff and whatever. But for like 6 years, something like that, and I have no knowledge of what's going on out there for the most part. Sometimes I kind of check in, sometimes for fun, like I'll do you hit on Google and you see just the trending searches. Like I'm kind of even off news. I don't believe in news anymore.
There is
really
no such thing as real
news.
It's
not that I think it's all fake news. It's, but it might be.
Yeah.
But I think the point is, unless I'm going to get activated, and influence the garden within my reach, kind of the community stuff, which I find more interesting. I find that like international stuff is a little overwhelming. I like to get the temperature, the barometer of society in general, but I find that even your feed outside of social media is kind of geared to triggering you. And I don't want to be triggered anymore. I just don't. It just wasn't good for me personally.
Well, it's the whole thing with, and we were just talking about Joe Rogan. He literally said, you can take, you have your physical diet, then you have your mental diet.
Yeah.
And the mental diet is like, it spills over to everything. So I'm trying to cut, that's what I'm trying to do too, is cut down the crap because there's so much of it.
Well, the thing is, I think because whether it's identity politics or left versus right, or whether it's bigger kind of tragedy stuff or whatever. I mean, obviously, like, naturally we react, tend to react to negative stuff more than positive stuff. And so, because everybody's so panicky about driving traffic, it tends to be very negative and very like, I hit on my trending last night and this is no beep, but the top trending subject was asteroid. NASA's telling us that an asteroid is coming towards Earth. So I happen to be sitting beside one of the kids and they look at it and go like, ah, we're all going to die. And it's like, Then you have to backtrack because you've read one sentence, extrapolate and go, oh, well, we're probably not going to die. You know what? If we're going to die anyway, I mean, it doesn't matter. We're all in decay.
I don't want to know.
That's what I said. Yeah. I said, when you go to sleep tonight, you don't know whether you're going to wake up or not.
Yeah.
So don't worry about the asteroid. Anything can happen to you in your sleep. Spiders, snakes.
Anything. I tell my kids that every night before bed.
Yeah.
When Callie, my 3-year-old.
Sweet dreams.
Yeah.
Sweet dreams.
Just might not wake up tomorrow. Sorry. Yeah. They need a reality check.
Right. Exactly. And they're so surprised and overwhelmingly overjoyed when they do wake up.
That's what it's all about.
I get to live another day. They're like, yeah, you. Maybe.
They wake up.
Maybe. You have to cross streets.
I'm alive.
Trees fall down. I mean, stay away from trees. But anyway, yeah.
What are you finding? Because do you do social for clients at Birch Park? You don't really do.
I try not to. What I do mostly is I get lots of fun footage that comes in from places and events and clients, and then I make funky videos out of them. And I try to get. I try to think of not the posting objective side of it, because then I'm thinking about some kind of thing like if you try to do anything based on what you think the reaction is going to be, then you're completely wrong, and you're also saying that the value is tied to that. So, if we get like 100-something likes, well, if you had that expectation and you got 40, does that mean your work is any less, or that you're any less? So it's more like just like looking at that stuff and trying to go, let's just get into the beauty of creating it. And then when it goes, the good thing about the cycle that we're in all the time, hopefully, is that I'm not working for one client for too long. So I do something, I can let it go, and then I don't think about it anymore. Someone else posted, I don't even know if it went up. I don't know what, like, even with our own stuff, I don't know that anybody likes anything or they know who we are. I can't care. So just something else comes in and I start to do it, I let it go. Another thing comes in, I do it, I love it, kind of.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't love it.
No.
Sometimes I know that I've done a really crappy job when it's, and it's not because I wasn't present and I wasn't trying. It's just I didn't connect with it for some reason. And you're not, sometimes that'll happen to you and you want to look at the client and go, you know what? This was the most important project of my life. And namaste, you know? And it's just like, maybe it wasn't. Maybe you were a little unsatisfied, but they still think it's amazing. So you try to sell it out there like, isn't it great? And they're like, oh my God. Even though inside yourself, you go, well, I didn't really connect with that one, but maybe I will next time.
Yeah.
You can't, they're not all home runs.
Instagram is changing. Jokings. Yeah, I know they're not.
Yeah, they're not.
Believe me, I know.
Yeah.
But Instagram is changing their
algorithm.
Well, the way they handle the follows and likes. So you're not going to see, you're not going to see the follows and you're not going to see the likes, or one or the other, I can't remember. But anyway, they're getting rid of that whole people like kind of posturing for these fake metrics that they get, right? Like,
yeah.
So
the one we watched a video kind of in the office the other day, Scott pulled it up. Scott Adams, proprietor,
old man
of Birch Park Media, just a powerhouse, just wielding his power like a tyrant, and just a bearded wonder,
and riding down Hunter Street.
Hi, everybody. That's not his voice. It could be his voice. I don't know. I've never heard him talk. I have no idea. Yeah. So, but anyway, we watched a video in the office the other day where it was talking about how social, but in particular, I guess Instagram, and to a lesser extent, maybe Snapchat or whatever, of how it's affected outdoor spaces. So natural wonders, in particular, this one was kind of the national parks in the U.S. So you know, where you might have had 400 visitors in any given month, or what, pick a day, a month, a week, whatever. And then all of a sudden, you know, that balloons to 200,000 because people recognize it as this place to get the Instagram shot.
Yeah.
So it becomes this thing. So what comes along with that? Well, all of a sudden you have people who, like, maybe they're older people or people have no interest in social, like, oh, there's too many people around. And they get all freaked out. And it's like they thought of it as a very magical place. And all of a sudden it's a place where, instead of coming to experience it and going, I'm giving myself to this place for 6 hours, they come to get the Instagram shot and then leave. And there's nothing on the surface wrong with that. But then all of a sudden, these places, you have to, they'll have like lotteries for permits because, you know, everybody's like, oh, so people are sitting in this room going, oh, I hope I get to take the perfect picture that everybody will like or whatever. And then that ends up being like a phantom of an experience where, like, were you really there? I mean, I know you were there. I saw you in the picture.
Yeah.
Were you really there?
Yeah.
Were you really there?
And then you hear stories of people like literally setting up props in their house to make it look like they're somewhere else.
Right.
Like, it's just bananas.
And, you know, I don't, and if, for instance, I don't blame or judge anybody for any of that, because one of the reasons I can't do social is because I have, and we all have it to some extent, but I have a gaping void inside me. I really do. And so, like, when I was an ego addict, and so when I was on social, I turned it into the worst beast that it could be every time. If something new came out, I found the way to make myself look the way I wanted to look, to treat other people differently than I would normally. I became a character that I didn't like. And all of a sudden, I recognized that. Thank you, psilocybin. And yeah, I recognize this character that I was, and I still am. Like, if it, you know, and I'm recovering. It's like, if you, it's 6 years, but if you threw me into that now, that's exactly what would happen to me. So now, if I'm out with the kids doing something, or I'm by myself doing anything, not having the baggage of thinking that I'm going to post anything or have any glimpse of it than anyone else can see makes me in the moment appreciate it, or not even really appreciate it more, just like be there and go, well, this is the only reason I'm here, just to be with my ugly self. So I might as well enjoy it.
Yeah. You know, like, that's a scary thing, because a lot of people put their, like, they put everything they are into social. So if it tanks, like you said, and something's not getting enough likes or shares or whatever, they, their ego takes a massive hit, which is craziness.
Well, I think that is just a part of it, that I think intellectually, when you talk to somebody, they say, like, if you were to say, if you got 40 likes, you're like, for however many people follow you, that's awesome. You know, if you got 4 likes, well, does that mean you're any less, or that post is any more beautiful or whatever? And they would say, intellectually, they would say, no, of course not. Oh, Phil. And then at the same time, there's a voice that you're not in control of inside of yourself. And it comes with the dopamine of getting a lot of hits. So if there's a duality to that, if you can get a rush off of a lot of hits, and a lot of likes or whatever you want to say, then that means the opposite kind of will end up being true a little bit. So if something tanks, you know, it could be that, maybe, like, especially when it's your business, I think you have to gauge it that way, because you need some kind of measurement. Like, you putting on the hat of business versus personal social, for business, you do have to say, well, why was there more engagement on that? And, you know, I should do a better job cropping that or whatever. Maybe I should try another filter, whatever. But it becomes a very kind of fragile state when it's yourself, because when the product is yourself, then it starts to mean a lot. Even if you don't think it means a lot, it starts to mean a lot. And we joked, I remember you and I joked one time about, like, you know, people, if you saw somebody that, you know, you connect a lot with on social, and then you see them, like, in the grocery store, you see, like, people like run away from you, like, I'm not dressed the way I Snapchat or whatever they, you know,
it is weird.
Whatever.
It's like, it's like seeing your teacher outside of the classroom.
Oh,
like,
that's gross.
And you're like, it's a strange, weird, almost wrong thing to have happen where you're out there. You should be able to be like, oh, I see you every day on social media. Nice to see you in person. This is great. Whereas like, yeah, even for me, yeah, my inclination is to beeline it and be like, this is cool. I've never actually talked to you. It's a freaky experience.
It's like, for me, letting go of social was letting go of thinking that anyone would ever see me or be able to gauge. So like when I was still on social, I remember there was a time in the Peterborough Market here during the afternoon. I don't know if you've heard me tell the story. So Scott and I were walking through there. And then after we were at, did you have to switch it over? Are you watching?
No, we're good.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we have like so, 7 minutes.
Perfect. Yeah. So we were walking through the market and somebody told us after that they had seen, that a friend of theirs had seen Scott and I. And the guy had said to his friend, he said, check out guy. And he was talking about me. Yeah, no. And he was absolutely right. He was absolutely right. I was a character of a person and he could tell it was a facade. I looked like I thought I was something. I looked like I wanted to be seen, that kind of thing. And letting go of social for me, and it's not the same for everybody, but it means that I can we swear, like halfway swear?
Oh, no, you can 100% swear as much as you want.
So I can completely walk around looking like shit and know it and now engage with people in a way. Like I think it gave me this mirror of myself, the way I crafted my profile pictures, everything. I wish the people closest to me. So if you have people like this in your lives, listen to this one. I wish the people closest to me had said, dude, like it's kind of like you, like an intervention for an alcoholic. And I wasn't like cartoony crazy, like ha, 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 you know, but I was very much not myself, and I was hiding a lot inside. And I wish people had said to me, you know, this is a bit much and you should dial it down, and what's happening to you, you know. And so now, through very, very, for a lot of experiences, and really, you know, like people dying around you is one where you say, all this is ephemeral. It's all going away. We're all in decay. You know, the future, the past is a dream, whatever. You're living like right now. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? And what do you want to mean to people? And I wasn't being genuine. And probably if I looked like crap on a day like that, where I was on social media, yeah, I would have ran screaming for people. You know, where now I'm just blessed to look as hideous as I am because I'm a hobo dad. I'm a 46-year-old man who, you know, the show is not my name, but the show is mine inside, but everything on the outside is for the kids and what, you know.
Oh, you're looking good. It must be the beard. I like it.
It is. Yeah. I've got it like a, oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, it can be a scary, 100%, like a scary thing. Like you see it affecting people's lives outside of social when something doesn't go their way. Like it's not, we live most of our lives in our phone now.
Right.
And I'm super guilty of it. I'm actually, it's probably gotten worse where I'm on my phone all the time because either I'm looking for opportunity.
Well, or that's a different animal.
Yeah. But it's so, I was saying again on a previous one that a podcast was like, it's gross. It feels icky sometimes when you're doing it.
Was that the podcast where you said, it's just bananas?
Oh, probably. Yeah. I say banana. I like that.
You like bananas. Do you have your yo banana here or whatever? Yo nana?
No. Okay. I think it's still your freaking office.
It might be. I think we stick our bananas in there.
Son of a bitch. Mm. Anyway.
But yeah, so by necessity, you're on your phone a lot. I think people, because maybe the work culture, like it's almost a running joke how, you know, I you know, it makes me cringe to be on social or anything. So just even getting a picture, getting me in footage.
No, like, you're hard to get.
Yeah.
On. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But it's not in that way that I'm trying to think about it too much. I don't want to feed that. I remember hearing Mike Tyson say, you know, because he was on Joe Rogan and they were asking him, why do you not just, do you not just go hit the bag? You know, do you not just take a run and go, I'm Mike Tyson, you know, woo. And he was saying, if I hit the bag once, he goes, then the monster is right behind there. He goes, it would all start again. I'd go, I would hit it again and again, and I'd want to do more crunches, and I'd want to be who I was. I'd want to be that thing that everybody thinks I am or whatever. And he found out that that isn't, you know, what he is, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you, DMT. And he went to the other side.
We're going to touch on that. Because this is anyone who's listening to this podcast and the previous podcast, it cuts out in 30 minutes and then I have to start it again. I have to figure out what's going on. It's super annoying. But right. We have a minute and a half.
Right. So I don't know where we were going with that. But the point is, I don't know what the point to that story was.
But he was unleashing this monster.
Yeah, he was leasing the ego monster, and we've all got it. But for him, I mean, imagine being, it's like when I hear people talking about Trump, be free to love to hate him. But he is a manifestation of your society. He did not create that society. Your society created him.
Yeah.
You know? People voted for him. He's still sitting at 43%. He still has it's almost the same number of approval as when he won, because people go in and they vote and they're like, oh, I would never vote for Trump. That would mean I'm a racist. Anyway, see you later. Gonna vote. And then they close the curtain and then they go, oh yeah, Trump. Yeah. And it's not like they secretly, maybe there's a secret kind of, we're trying like a self-defeatist thing where we're trying to say, let's raise these people up. It's not unlike Ford, where you say, how did everyone vote for him? Well, maybe we did vote for him because we need to confront exactly who we are, see it in the state that it really is, so that we can react to it in an appropriate way.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on one sec. We're back again.
All right.
Yeah,
that's one of the things that can trigger you is like the whole Trump thing and stuff. But why? What are you going to do about it? You know, you probably have someone in your family who loves to hate watch him or something, like I do. I have my mother.
Oh yeah, you told me about your mom.
Who loves to hate watch Trump?
Have you heard that?
Just can you believe it?
Yeah,
he's such a monster. Let me hear what he's saying now, because he's so terrible.
See, this is the stuff that I'm trying desperately like to distance myself from.
You should.
There's a lot. I don't know. No, yeah. There's a lot of it out there. Not just him, but so much of it.
Right.
And, you know, I mean.
Well, we got it locally here with the Tent City.
Oh, yeah.
So let's wade into the Tent City for like 30 seconds. Yeah. So whether people should be living anywhere they want, like I don't believe people, oh, I'm building a cabin, you know, in Nichols Oval. Well, I don't believe that people should be able to just live wherever they want necessarily, you know. But the point is, it arose there because we weren't dealing with a problem. And then this problem became like a wound. It became infected. And these beautiful people are down there just trying to survive. And whether you're on the left or on the right, you've got to say to yourself, nobody really wants to live in a park, and we still do live in a part of the world where it will get minus 30, so they won't be able to live in the park the whole time. Yeah. So it's just like, instead of saying, you know, those freeloaders, and I'm driving by my truck, and I hate you, take back our park. It's like, if they get out of there, you're not going to be seeing people playing Frisbee in that park, and families having picnics in front of the courthouse. That doesn't happen.
No.
So what inconvenience is it to you? And if you don't like to see the problem, if you don't like to see the society that you have, then what can we do? And sometimes I say to myself, you know how you'll run into like one of these roads here locally where you go, they've been working on this road for like 7 months. I don't even know what they're doing. You know, it's like, you know, not that they're not working hard, but most of them are high while they're working. I mean, you would be.
You'd have to be.
I would be.
Uh-huh.
And, well, that. But anyway, so you say to yourself, say any of those roads cost, let's say it cost $200,000 to fix a road that was kind of lumpy and cracky and whatever. If we just said to ourselves, like, and we would maybe never say this, you would hope maybe we would someday. If we said, you know what, I can drive on a lumpy road for another 5 years or something, or another 2 years or something. And maybe that's not a big deal if it meant that $200,000 or something would keep just a small space, a safe space open for people to kind of chill out in. And, you know, the fact that people are dealing with substance abuse and stuff, that becomes part of the stigma of it too. And you know what? If you knew anybody's journey, if you'd heard any other stories, you'd go, oh man, I don't know how many drugs I would do if that had been my life. And we don't realize
it's really easy
how fortunate most of us are.
Oh my God. That's a big one. We are all.
My kids need to, and I do, and we probably all do in some respect, we need to have a gratitude journal of just like little things, Yeah. My son said one time, he said to me, he said, well, you know what? I'm just, you know, he was talking about taking it easy because, you know, every teenager goes through that lethargy where you think they're being really lazy. So I was just like, don't you want to do something? Don't you want to feel motivated to like do something kick ass with your life or whatever? And he's like, you know what? If it's all like reincarnation and stuff, Dad, then what if I just come back? Like, is it, I'll just wait to the next time. Who cares? This life, woo, this life's just like a tissue out of the tissue box next to my bed. You'll crumple, crumple. It gets all crackly the next day. Whatever. I don't care. And I said to him, you are a thin, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, upper middle class, white guy living in Canada. I said, we are already in the 1%, by the way, looking globally. I said, so you say you shake the boggle thingy and you wake up from another dream as somebody else and you think you're going to be in the top 1% again? Chances are you're going to be in the 99%. You're going to wake up next to the Nile with a crocodile trying to crush your skull as a 2-day-old. Okay, who knows? Take advantage of every wielding power that you have within yourself now and also use it to reach down to those people and say, man, come along for the ride.
I wish that message would get out to more people because I can't, I don't know if it's an age thing, I get older, or maybe just I'm becoming slightly more self-aware, but I can't, I can't tolerate it. Like you see it in Starbucks, you see it. Like Starbucks is the worst place to go if you want to be quote unquote triggered.
So the guy who's Starbucks. Holding, I brought a Starbucks with me today, which I rarely get, but this is such a special day. Shirt with buttons, Starbucks.
And I then appreciate. He I really appreciate
and then
it.
Then he slagged it. Yeah. You know, right. Yes, there were really annoying people in there who were finishing their screenplay. But I still got a latte. This
Morning. No, I'm not like, knocking. But anyway, I love Starbucks. Oh my God, I'm there all the time. But it's the it's the whole like, you know, you got my drink wrong and people getting pissed and like people I don't understand. I just don't get it. Even on the roads, like, again, I sound like an old man on the roads. People are insane because they think they have to get from point A to point B in 0.3 seconds.
Right.
And we live in Peterborough. And by the way, anyone who doesn't know Peterborough, it takes 10 minutes to get across the city.
Right.
So it's just this mentality of you owe me. What are you going to do for me? And we are all,
this red light doesn't pertain to me.
Honestly,
you know, just kind of, you know, jive right through it like a jive turkey.
And that's what exactly. So there's too much of that shit going on. 100%.
Everything just kind of slows down. So sometimes like last week, this, I was driving, I guess it was the end of the week or whatever. And I live in Baltimore, so in the middle of nowhere. And then I was going down Ganaraska Road and I just pulled over to the side of the road and was just listening to music on, I got in my car, listening on headphones and just staring into a cornfield. It was just a beautiful day and these big clouds going by and weird birds birding their bird life around me and stuff. And I sat there for an hour and I text Megan, I said, I'm sorry, I'm just really late and I don't really know when I'm going to be back. I said, maybe 15, 20 minutes or something, but it's just like sometimes to like breathe the air and look at things and just go like, man, this is just crazy that we're like spinning through space on this thing where out of every crack and every like square centimeter of earth, just life kind of goes woo in your face. And you're one of those things. You're one of everything and not in a woo-woo way, but that you're kind of responsible to be connected to everything. Because when you are, then all of a sudden you feel like you owe everybody a little bit more of your best, and not a way in which you're thinking to yourself, like, I bet if I'm more of my best self, I'll get a Tesla Roadster. I bet the universe would namaste. I bet the universe would just bequeath me a Tesla Roadster, which is nothing. If I could get a Tesla Roadster, I absolutely would. But it's just like, but not wanting anything in return. That's when it's just one of those things you hear from people. That's when things come to you. But you know what? It doesn't have to be the big things, because when you don't expect anything, the little things mean so much.
Yeah, it's the having zero expectations.
Yeah,
yeah, Right. That's kind of the biggest problem is people just expect so much from everybody else. Well, what are you doing? Like, yeah.
Why don't I have that? That's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
And comparing yourself, and it's just all just a mind fuck over and over and over. And it messes with you.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's one of those things where the more things, like everyone can open those drawers in your house where you go, where'd all this stuff come from? What? I don't even use this stuff. I don't see this stuff. And it's all stuff that has to go somewhere. Like, where is it going? Like, I'm not one of these people that thinks like, give away all your possessions and live like Richard Gere or whatever as a Buddhist. But it's just like, do you really need that thing? Because even going out to Costco or whatever and buying like a 10-pound jar of pickles, I mean, it feels good. You get the dopamine hit from buying things too. Of course you do. It's all awesome to buy things and stuff. But it's just like, just why? You know, what are you doing?
Can we talk about Costco for a second?
Yeah, we can talk about Costco.
It's only going to take 2 minutes. Every time I drive by there, I get almost physically ill. Like I think, why is it parking lot full all the time? I get people need groceries.
2:30 on a Monday afternoon.
But do you need like eight family size bags of like cat litter? Like I don't really know like what the draw is unless you're buying in bulk for something. I don't know. Yeah. It's just more.
Well, I'll tell you something. I honestly, this is a real personal moment for me. But I had in my entire life, I've only had one no fooling shutdown reboot of the software panic attack. And it was in Costco. The aisles got super long all of a sudden. My vision narrowed. My head went fuzzy in the same way as when I was trying to cut a fetal pig in OAC. You know, it like everything just went zzz, and my whole thing just shut down. And I felt the crush of everything. And it didn't make me like a really weak person. It made me like realize this just like the anxiety of like I don't need just one of these fleeces. They're such a good price. I'm gonna get one in every color. And just people like wanting to punch you to like get the samples in the aisles.
Oh yeah, that's a big one.
And me thinking that I needed 5 liters of mouthwash when no one wanted to make out with me. It's just like, no, what are you doing here? So my whole being said to myself, you don't belong here. Other people might belong here. They might like set up camp and try to sleep there overnight and just, I'm going to live at Costco. But I mean, that not my jam. Yeah. Costco is not my jam.
I feel like people park out there overnight. It's always full.
Now when I go to I very rarely go to the mall, and I went to the mall the other day with my daughter and I felt like a fish in a fish tank. It was just nice to kind of walk around and see people. And I don't mean like in a way that I feel like, oh, I'm just not a mall person, everybody. It's more like just like, I don't go because what am I going to buy? And then it creates a little bit of anxiety in me.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We were talking before about the purpose of the podcast. One thing I've noticed is when I'm out, I'm not quite as socially awkward because working by yourself all the time.
Right.
You get really,
of course, insular.
It's so stupid. Right. It's so like, it was to the point where you go say hi to somebody, you're like, hey, and you just feel like, you don't really know what you're saying and like you can't form words. So
now you go out and you see people whispering like, is that Jason from the Art Burrito? He's from the Art Burrito. That's the podcast.
And then
he's the pod father of Peterborough. Do you have any competition for pods in the city? Is there anybody that you want to take down?
And then I sign their forehead.
It's like me because I'm building an 82 unit luxury condo complex in the Warehouse District. It's called the Perry Street Estates. And I find like other people, like say there's Paul Bennett or I don't know who the other developers are in town, but you know, I feel like this kind of rivalry where I'm just like, mine are more luxury than yours.
No, the thing is, my podcast is so new.
Right.
And really, nobody's listening right now. So you can almost say anything you want.
Oh.
No, I have no competition.
And I will.
I have no competition.
Yeah. We've seen Neil and Cody do their podcast. And they, but they have the energy. They can feed off each other, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Only up. Oh, yeah? It's more up than up. And it's like, you got to tell your story. You tell your story. I'm going to tell your story. Don't you tell my story. I'm going to tell your story. You can tell my story. I'm going to tell mine. Well, then you tell yours. No, right. I'm going to tell yours.
And have you seen their setup over there?
Yes. Oh, they're pimp. They've got it going on. Not secretly. I love them. I love that vibe over there. I love the whole Peterborough has the best clouds. You know that I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Because we do. We have some of the best clouds.
It's on video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mary Monsef knows it.
Have you...
You stop that right now. Yeah. Cease and desist.
I feel like we should... Oh, my God.
That's not her voice, by the way.
That was horrible.
I don't know.
I feel like I shouldn't talk about that.
just in case the hammer comes down. Jason's disappeared. I don't know where he's gone.
Have you ever tried to meditate? Because I only ask because we're talking about all this world craziness, and I was on the GO train the other day, and I downloaded this app because it showed up on my feed or whatever.
Which one is it? Do you remember? Doesn't matter.
I don't remember. There's a lot of one. I looked at the top one and whatever it is. So now it's sending me reminders, you know?
Yeah.
So it almost defeats it. Like, I'm getting push notifications to meditate.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, what?
Right. So I do, but not in that way that I think that people, like, I don't put on, like, really flowy pants.
Yeah.
And I don't get all incense-y, although I do enjoy a good patchouli, much as anybody.
Yeah.
But I think what I try to do is, because I realize it's the expectation within meditation, I think, that freaks people out, because your voice is chattering all the time inside your head. And that thing that's always running, like if you sit there and listen to it, what you're trying to do eventually, if you get any, it's not even good at it. If all of a sudden it clicks for you, is you become the witness of those thoughts. So instead of fighting the thoughts, like, oh, I can't believe my brain won't stop brain. Then it's more like you see the thoughts, you don't attach yourself to them, and you let them go. So you go, it's kind of like giving a wry smile at the anxiety that's coming up in yourself. And what you're trying to do, or at least what I'm trying to do, is elongate the spaces between those thoughts. A neat little trick that I remember hearing is to watch your thoughts like you're a cat watching a mouse hole, like a cartoon mouse hole in a wall, and say to yourself, what thought's going to come out of there next? And you sit there and you watch it and you go, and your brain is trying to like fool you. It's trying to go, oh yeah, well, what do you want to think about? Is it going to be something like, is it going to be something sexy? Is it going to be something hideous? Are you going to, whatever, the worst part of me, whatever. And then those silences get farther and farther apart. And then I remember having a very kind of clear realization, maybe perhaps under the influence of something, where it was just like the thing that I want the most, or I say that I want the most in my life, is silence and is peace and time away from everywhere, whatever. And the voice in my head was saying, the closer you get to silence and peace, the more you fill it, the more, because you're scared of the silence, because we have that, your ego is chattering to you all the time, and it's working on a time clock of fear.
Is that why I need music everywhere I go?
Yeah, yes.
I literally everywhere I go.
No, I do. Well, look at me. I mean, I wear the giant cartoon headphones.
So do I.
Around. Yeah.
I get my wife makes fun of me for
that. Yes, I know. It's terrible. But you know what? It's not that, because music is a vibrational thing, not in a cuckoo way.
It inspires me for my art. I need it to create.
You're also connecting with something in yourself.
But I also should give myself that time where it's like, let's just listen to things around me for a change. Wow, what a concept.
And also, but you're right, when you're not even outside for crickets and birds and that kind of stuff, say you're in your bed and you hear nothing, you know, and someone's beside you sleeping, and that silence, that void, like,
I can't do that. I need white noise.
I know, but embracing that void is like, it's connecting to a part of yourself that it's behind the chatter. There's a you that's behind it that already knows the answer to everything, and not in a like, I've seen Jesus. It's more like if somebody asks you a question ever, say it's a moral question or a conundrum or whatever, then inside you already know the answer to that. Your intuition already knows. There's a part of you that knows what's right and knows what moves you a little bit higher, that's a little bit better, you know? But your other voice that's acting out of fear wants you to do things that will preserve the things that you have, or get more, or regret things that you've done in the past. And so what you're trying to do, I think, or what I'm trying to do, is just free myself from that kind of judgment of myself all the time. And there's a big part of me that is like probably with a lot of people is self-loathing and doesn't believe that I deserve anything or whatever. If I get to the point where I can forgive myself first and I can really love myself, like be alone with myself in a way that I'm like, oh my God, Phil, I love you. Then I can love everybody else so much more. And that's what it feels like for me more lately.
That's huge. 100%. Like if you can care about yourself, of course you can spread it around, right?
Like I'm hoping that when people engage me now, as opposed to engaging me 10 years ago, I'm hoping that they come away from that going, that incredibly handsome man really cares about me. No, but I hope they think that I'm really present. I'm there with them and I'm interested in their journey too. And I want to connect with them for a minute and then I'm gone. You may never see me again, but I love you.
Yeah.
I fucking love you.
Yeah.
There we go.
There, that's good. Yeah. I'm trying to grapple with that a little more too. Like as far as being more present, especially at home, because it was getting a little bit out of control as far as, again, devices. Like I just like, I don't know what's going on.
You know what? This is what I would say about meditation, at least like what works for me. So it would be for a while and you can come back to it. I think once there's a little more of a foundation there, but I would for a minute, for a week, maybe I would ditch the device. And one of the things that I remember somebody saying was, it was like a monk who said this was, people believe that meditation is trying very hard, sitting a certain way, being in whatever place. What you can do is if you're walking down the street is just take deep breaths, be aware of your breath while you're walking and to just feel yourself within your body. So you know how like if you sat and you thought to yourself, what does the bottom of my foot feel like right now? What does the back of my hand feel like? And even though you think you're not feeling everything because we have to gate it off or it'll all be all noise, but you can actually feel that stuff. But get into your own body and feel this kind of energy that's around you, that's coming out of you. And just take these short like 30 seconds of meditative time, you know, a minute. And what people I think want to do is like, I meditated for an hour straight and I saw the universe spin and whatever. It's just that. And then people think there's a goal to meditation. And I don't think there is. I think there's because everything is a moment. Take a moment and then that'll grow. It'll grow a little bit and a little bit and a little bit.
Yeah. A little bit. I did it for 3 minutes. So my app told me to,
Yes.
It said, hey, do it for 3 minutes. So I did it for 3 minutes. And it says basically just pay attention to your breathing.
Yeah. Right? Go back to your breath. Like,
and then once I did it, it is actually pretty cool because thoughts come to you and then you start to, and then you open your eyes and you feel like a little less tired. You feel really relaxed. So I'm going to try to do it more for sure.
The other thing that I was told, because if you've ever read anything about like the chakras and all that kind of stuff, one of the things that they say is it's hard to be grounded. So it's hard to like feel kind of an energy source that you can anchor to. So one of the tricks that I heard was to sit there, preferably maybe outside or something, but is to imagine as you sit there, imagine there are roots coming out of the bottom of you and they're going down to the earth and they're anchoring on to rocks and weird stuff down there. And then the other thing, as they said, literally lean against or touch a tree. Put your hand on a tree. And they said, it's impossible not to be grounded when you have your hand on a tree. Like we're seeing this outer layer, the skin, and we say, that's a tree. And we're calling it a tree. Well, behind that tree is an ecosystem of like, you know, all kinds of life that lives on and within that tree. There's energy coming out of that tree. There's sunlight going in and out. There's air happening. Try closing your mouth and plugging your nose. What relationship do you have to trees? I mean, it's just like, they're such beautiful. They're their own thing in a way. They have personalities and you know it because you saw it at the hunt camp and they were looking at you.
That was this. Okay, let's break into that. That was
how much time we got.
We're gonna cut it in about 5 minutes and we'll start it up again.
Okay.
That was an experience and a half. That was like equal parts scary and cool.
Right.
Actually, not scary. That's an understatement.
Do you want to stray away from saying what it was, or do you want to talk about it?
So I'll just briefly tell the story. So we went to hunt camp. There was no hunting at the camp, by the way. There is no hunting at the camp. So it's Scott's family's cabin. You pitch a tent outside of the cabin because there might be bats and stuff inside the camp.
It's the only tent that was pitched. Keep going.
And so you brought mushrooms.
Yes.
And then, so I've asked people about this before, about mm-hmm. lemon teching, and they're yes. like, what the fuck? They're like, I don't know what that is. Right. So I said, well, if you don't know what it is and you're interested, you should really try it right. or not. So you soak them in lemon juice, right?
Mm-hmm. For like 30 minutes.
For 30 minutes.
Yep.
So we all just down them.
Right.
And
I should say, by the way, that there's a huge, gigantic difference like between psilocybin mushrooms at a lower to moderate dose and something that will ego death you and spin you into like a, yeah. So that kind of thing. So, I mean, just for everybody, it's not for everybody. And a small amount will make you very connected to kind of everything in a really way that's inside yourself. So that's, nature in particular.
That's partly what happened.
Right.
So we all took it, went down to the rapids. There's a river, really yeah. awesome spot. So we sat there and we were sitting in a row. I remember when we were looking off into the trees and oh my God, I'm starting to get nervous even talking about
yes,
it.
Yes, you should.
It was so freaky. Right. So we were all, it all happened to us at the same time.
But that
time.
Maybe was the first, yeah, that lemon teching means that the come up is faster. So yeah. instead of like 40 minutes to an hour, it's yeah. more kind of like in the 20 to 25 minute
that.
Range.
Yeah. And then boom, like we were all like, I remember looking over and you guys were both like, we were all, that was it. It was, so I remember Scott saying, if I run into the woods,
don't come after me. This is primordial Adam.
And I'm like, all right, whatever.
Right.
Sure enough.
Let's not implicate anybody else. So, no, there was no, it was just you and I.
Right, right.
And
so I looked over and things started to get like really cartoony. Like, mm-hmm. so I got up, we walked up, I didn't walk. I ran up the hill back right. to the camp, and yep. everything got like pastel, like really pastel-y.
Right.
Looked just like a painting or one of those stupid filters you can get where it makes like your right. picture into a drawing. Anyway, got up there and spent the next 5 hours in the tent looking up at trees that would basically breathe, like flow, like mm-hmm. like in the wind, and then stop. Like there was no movement for about 30 seconds.
Right.
And then you could feel it come back up in the back of my neck. And then they would start to breathe again.
Do you want to stop this and start again?
Yeah, let's do that. We're back. So yeah. So I spent the next like 5 hours looking at trees, breathing and having mini freakouts. And then you took off on, the ATV.
Journey.
Yeah,
our own. And yeah, we sat at a cabin, or I did by myself, and looked out at a lake and with no one around and the water shimmering off, the sun shimmering off the water and, smoking half a joint and then thinking to myself like, so there's a time, and I run into this myself, where I become very sensory seeking. You know, I tend to take things too far if I get anything. And in that moment, though, that was one of those moments where it wasn't me trying to have just a lot of fun. It was about me trying to connect to something. And I think there's a big difference, because if you talk to anybody about, like, they'll think of certain, substances as party favors or whatever, to just, they're just crazy and they're just having fun. Well, it's just like there's a reason why people have been experiencing this stuff for thousands of years and what it can do. And some, if you're a high school student, you throw a handful of them in your mouth and wee, and everything, the world becomes whatever. When you have some life experience and you've known some kind of sorrow and you've experienced a lot of things within yourself, then the right amount of them can open a doorway to, all kinds of possibilities and understanding the world around you, breathing, like you were saying, in a different way. And there's a wisdom within yourself that it kind of unlocks, if you choose to. And it's not a phantom. It becomes very much true. So when you're trying to like explain to somebody after the fact, they'll think that you're talking crazy, or you'll be saying things that they'll go, well, yeah, I know we're all connected, Phil, you donkey. And you go, it's not about the words. It's about, that's the first time I've really felt it deep within myself. And that's that resonated with me. And that's very different. There's a reason why they give high dose intravenous psilocybin to cancer patients. And then that ego death, that coming to the grips, that pulling the mask off themselves, enables them in a lot of cases to feel a much greater sense of peace in the dying process, because we're all slowly dying anyway. But you could be faced with it tomorrow, and we're all one phone call away from maybe that happening to us. And to some people, it's completely not necessary. And I believe that. I don't believe that the world should run amok with substances, and people should be driving like, ooh, my car's floating. It's just like, but there are signposts in your life. There are things that happen where if you really do try to connect with it, and sometimes you need some help. Maybe sometimes people can just meditate or, you know, use a Ouija board and everything's fine. It's just, for me, that journey included psilocybin. And you know what? First of all, it's impossible to overdose. Second of all, it's impossible to be physically addicted to it. And I think about it now and I get terrified. So it's not something that I want to do.
I remember you saying that. Yeah. You're like,
No. Well, because I've done a few of them, maybe three of them, that I lost everything. And I begged the universe on the way down to take me out. And please let this be over. Please let this story be over for me now. And then I did get a sense of that impossible kind of grace and that understanding of myself that was so like, dude, just take it easy on yourself. And all of this is kind of like a dream, you know? Like if you think about something bad that happened to you yesterday or 2 years ago, well, that is almost, it's almost like a dream. Like it's not happening now. It's not happening in the moment. And if you think of things that you want in the future, whatever, those are phantoms, those are figments. And it's like, if there's nothing that you have to do right this second, okay, there's nothing to panic or anxiety about. Take it easy, enjoy this ride, because we don't know what happens after, but it's just it's such a miracle.
Well, yeah,
like right now.
And that's probably the biggest takeaway is even if you don't want to dive into mind altering substances,
yeah,
that's a big point is be easy on yourself. It's so easy to like come down hard on yourself and
right.
what you're doing.
Because the biggest example of that is I visited a neo shaman in Toronto, and probably a lot of people have heard of ayahuasca, and then the active ingredient within that is DMT. But I did the other version, which is 100% natural smoke DMT, and was guided by somebody because that was very important. But what I came to a point in my life after my dad died and looking at him and saying, you know, at that moment, I remember the last night, and I leaned down to him in his ear and I literally said, you know, you're going to know, you know, what everybody wants to know, you're going to know it.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to be surprised, because my dad was an atheist his entire life and was very staunch about it.
Yeah.
And when he did go, I was like, you know, what happened to that man? And I went on a journey for the next, and that I'm still on, but it's almost 3 years later, that it's just like,
wow, is that long ago?
Yeah. Oh my God. Right. So, but now, like I went to, and one of the things I did was I went to a neo shaman, and I recorded on my phone 7 minutes before I went in. I recorded a thing of me saying, if I don't come out of this, you know, and I thought the universe was destined to smash me into bits and it was to terrify me in ways and to drag me down into hell and punish me, you know, and the exact opposite was the case. And it was all about like, everything's going to be all right. You know this already. You've always known this. You've been here thousands of times before. And it's just like,
you said, you know, it felt very comforting.
It was an incredible arms wrap around me, a kind of love that I've never felt before. There no judgment, no duality. There is no bad. There is no good. Everything is as it is. And just And I came back feeling such an immense gratitude for anything. Now, big asterisk, I wouldn't recommend that anybody do it.
It was kind of my next question was, if anybody's at a crossroad, would you say,
I was really at a point where I wanted the story to be over. And the woman said to me, she goes, "You're working your way through the death process." She goes, and I just felt like it was over, you know? I came back feeling so foolish, and no matter what state my life had been in at the time or is now or whatever, but when I came back, there was such a ridiculous, because the whole thing was kind of recorded in audio, and I listened to what I said coming out, and it was just like, I felt so ridiculous for worrying about anything, and I felt so a gratitude, being so grateful in a way that I've never felt before. And I'm not saying that anybody else would feel that way. Every experience is so personal, but outside of my, like, even my kids being born, you could pick anything. There are very few things I think about every day. And I do think about that every day, and I probably will never do it again. So it's not one of these things. I'm not.
No, you said, I think you said that immediately after.
Yeah.
You said,
I probably never do it again. Even though it was probably the most transformative experience in my life in a way, and connected me to to myself in a very, very strange and powerful way. But I don't think I would ever have the nerve to do it again. I think it's still so overwhelming.
Yeah.
But I'm so grateful for it. But anyway, hopefully what we should say about all this stuff is we'll loop it all back. So whatever you're doing today, you know, like posting on social media, you know, going to the store for a stick of butter, whatever you're doing, at least I'm hoping to infuse everything with that amount of, you know, wow, this is just wonderful. It's just really wonderful that I'm doing this today. And I could turn this corner and a bus can hit me or whatever can happen.
Yep.
And you know what, no matter what happens, it is what it is and it's all going to be okay.
I've heard actually people say you can't be in that state all the time.
You're right.
But I'm like, why not? You have choice over your thought process and your inner narrative. So I don't understand why you can't be grateful for everything. I mean, you don't have to like outwardly show, oh my God, I'm going I love this butter. Thank God for butter. You know, I mean, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you have total control over your thought process.
It's very insensitive. Well, because some people can't eat dairy.
Oh, that's true. Now I've offended people.
But even when you're walking around downtown Peterborough, you know what? Because a lot of people be like, oh, downtown Peterborough. And sometimes I'm very guilty of this, where it's just like, it's so gross.
Oh,
Simcoe Street, what a pile of burning garbage.
Yeah.
You know, but then you say to yourself, if you walk down Simcoe, you walk down everywhere, first of all, they're just like great people that pass you all the time and you might not know them, but it's just like, hey, buddy. But the other thing is, there is stuff like our city is still full of like trees and everything. Like you'll just pass life everywhere and everything's fine and breathe in the air. Go to work,
yep.
Do your thing. Everybody's got to do their jam.
Yeah, and what you look for, you'll find, right? Yeah. So if you're going to look for the shit, you're going to find
it. And you know, you found your calling or whatever. Not everybody gets to do that. Like sometimes there's some people that just like, I mean, you wouldn't be able to get a coffee this morning if somebody didn't have to work at Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
Maybe it's kind of soul crushing to be there. But the kind of things that we're talking about here, maybe even in that moment, because there are days where I find it really hard to focus and do what I do. But I mean, it's just like,
oh, I do too.
Yeah.
Even if I'm doing what I love, there's stuff that comes along, like you said earlier.
Right.
That I don't know.
But those moments come and go.
Exactly.
And I think, like we were talking about, letting go of thoughts and emotions and stuff. Well, don't ignore it. Like, acknowledge it. I feel like crap right now or whatever. If you can, like, go out and take a walk and do something. Maybe listen to the song.
Yeah.
You know, listen to Eye in the Sky by the Alan Parsons Project or something and feel like just Toto's Africa. Whatever is your jam. You know, and feel it.
Those are my two favorites.
Yeah.
How'd you know?
Yeah. Feel it. And like, really, well, I know you're a big Jay-Z guy. Go listen.
Oh, yeah.
And then he'll just start to kick the ass of the world for you.
Oh, he'll come back. Jay-Z cures whatever's ailing you. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
Before we go,
I
want to touch on, and Heidi said you have to.
Let's touch on something.
There's things I want to touch on.
Oh, okay.
Being a being a dad again at
46.
Because we 100% have that in common, although I'm much younger than you.
Yeah, well, yeah. So is Megan. But yeah.
What are you finding? Like how you, I mean, obviously it's great, but.
All right. Yeah. Let's do the minute and a half version here is, yeah. Is that, yeah, the maturity and maybe the realization that I'm very much a dying creature or whatever that just comes with middle age, you know, is like, I look at those little things, I think slightly different than I did as a young guy, where I've always been the clown with my kids. I've always been really engaged and wanted to do a lot with them or whatever. But it's just like now, now it seems to have, the little things have really slowed down. So you really notice like the little things with Aubrey, who's my little, just about 10 month old girl.
Wow.
And she's just, and it gives me such an appreciation for the process and who are you, like looking into their eyes and going, oh, who knows what you are. And I'll play like really weird stuff, like all over the board, like classical music, jazz, like Indian music, whatever. And just see her face light up. And maybe she reacts to something like David Bowie. Oh my God, you just love Heroes or whatever. Let's Dance. And there, but there's something else, and or the Beatles or whatever it is.
Callie likes Elvis Single Ladies by Beyonce.
See?
Yeah. Oh, she loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And that, but that is that kind of like surprising them with things. And like we went to the Rani Suspension Bridge that's outside of Camelford there. And she could have been on another planet. She just thought like,
oh yeah.
Oh my God. What? Getting down into the like the falls and the shallow water that's running over the rocks all warm and just touching everything. And you go, how can you not love it? Like, how can you not try to feel that when you can see it through her? And you go, oh my God, you're right. You say, you are right, little lady. This yeah. is a miracle.
That's what I find out yeah. too. I'm way more like in tune with what she's experiencing. Yeah. When Sam came along, so by the way, Sam's 21 now, same age I was when we had him.
Right.
So it's kind of weird. But I was yes. like, you know, when you're 21 years old and have a kid, you're like totally, I don't know. I can't remember. My memory's horrible. Like I was present, but I'm just, it's so no. different now. It yeah. feels like,
yeah.
it sounds bad. It feels like my first kid because yes. I feel like a different person all around. So yeah, it's just, it's just a whole different experience. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm loving it for sure.
Yeah, emotional fireworks.
Yeah.
Just every day.
Yeah.
And just hearing, like, she's just now at the point where she will explode into laughter, like, in that way. That's like the, you know, the belly laugh of the Buddha. It comes from, like, somewhere deep inside where it's just kind of a laughter, like, this world is fucked up. And yeah. she just starts laughing. And you're just like, you can't help but just go, yeah, no, it really is. And you are a freaking miracle. Yeah.
Last night we played this game on the way into the bath. She ran down the hall and pretended to scare me. So I would yeah. like jump up and yeah. she thought that was it. There was nothing that mattered beyond that at that moment. She just thought it was hilarious.
And there is nothing that matters
no,
more than that.
No,
that's
not.
It. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we can wrap it up if you want.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll I've got work to do.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
Adams, you bastard.
I don't know what I'm doing today.
Maybe you don't have to do anything. Well, you could do some stuff and then not do stuff.
Whatever. Well, thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
Love you, man. Thanks for having me in. This was a good time.
And again, this is brought to you by Publican House Brewery.
Publican.
Even though we didn't drink beer, it's still only 10:30. I mean, I guess I could have one now. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, man. Talk to you later.
Bye.